Hey, it's Marcus Williams, and I got a chance to speak with Elsa Polson of the Bear Care Group. So, Elsa, what do you guys do at the Bear Care Group?
Well, the Bear Care Group is an international professional association, and it's made up of bear caregivers, people like zookeepers, veterinarians, managers of facilities like zoos, sanctuaries, and bear rehabilitation facilities around the world. And what we do, our mandate is to set up forums to teach better bear care. I think all of us have some memory of bears pacing back and forth at the local zoo. And what we do is we share information between organizations, and we focus on what's called behavior-based bear husbandry or behavior-based husbandry. And what that does is basically, I mean, it's in a nutshell, behavior-based husbandry focuses on the animal's needs, the animal's genetic requirements. Every species of animal is born into a certain environment, and they're built to live in that environment. So we look at that in the captive community, and basically we need to provide for them the parameters of that natural environment in the captive habitat to reduce stress.
Right.
That's what we do.
Awesome. Cool. And I also read on your website that you guys educate the public. What are some things you guys kind of, how do you educate the public? And what things, like, do you teach them?
We do. I think it's easy to criticize facilities, whether they be zoos or sanctuaries or rehabilitation facilities, if you don't know why that animal is there. And in some cases, the criticism is warranted. In many cases, it's warranted. In other cases, there is no other avenue. So the long and short of it is we try to explain when there's an article in the paper about a bear and something has happened to that bear, we try to explain what's happened and whether or not that's an appropriate response for that bear. So one of the things that comes to mind, for instance, is bear rehabilitation. And I can use the state of Alaska as an example. The state of Alaska does not do bear rehabilitation for release, bear cub rehabilitation for release. So cubs that have been orphaned by hunters or in other situations, they end up going to zoos in the United States. And the problem is that there are only so many accredited zoos that can provide good homes. But that's actually an aside. The long and short of it is that orphan bear cubs can be rehabilitated for release. So that state, for instance, needs to set up rehabilitation programs, as does Alberta. Alberta does not allow the rehabilitation of American black bears or grizzly bears, which just isn't even right on so many levels.
Yeah, totally.
Especially since we know that there's science available that shows that these animals can be rehabilitated and released and live well. There is a website that was created. It's called bearrehabilitation.org. And that website is all about the husbandry required for bear rehabilitation. It talks about bear rehabilitators around the world for all 8 species of bears. And it has a resource page that lists all of the science behind it. So anybody who wants to read about bear cub rehabilitation for release can just go to that website.
Awesome.
So these are the kinds of things that we talk about. The other thing is that if you have a local sanctuary or a local zoo, we teach people how to tell the difference between, for instance, sanctuaries that are legitimate sanctuaries and organizations that call themselves sanctuaries but actually aren't sanctuaries.
Right.
So that's the kind of stuff that we do on Facebook. That effort is on Facebook, Facebook page.
What is your Facebook page, quickly?
Our Facebook page is the Bear Care Group.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Now, you spent time at the Calgary Zoo.
Yeah, many years.
Many years. Yeah, awesome. Like, it seemed there, according to your bio on the bearcaregroup.org, that that your time there kind of started your love for bears. What was it about them that drew you to them?
Well, I think I'm so old that I remember polar bears at the Calgary Zoo, and I worked with them. And I can remember when I first started in the early 80s, there were three polar bears at the time, all pacing on their own pathway. And this drew me to them because they needed someone to pay attention to this. And the current explanation at the time didn't make sense to me. The current explanation was they walk great distances in the wild, so therefore they pace in captivity. And there's a huge difference between a walking gait for a reason and pacing back and forth. Those two things didn't make sense to me, that they were completely different. And so I did some research along with a neuroscientist, Dr. Cam Teske, then at the University of Calgary, and we researched this. But it just ended up, I don't know. It's with zookeepers, you never know what you're going to be drawn to. Some folks are drawn to reptiles, others are drawn to birds, others, you know, they seem to have an understanding of different species. Some folks are drawn to big cats. I was drawn to bears. I seem to understand them better than a lizard, for instance. I can look at a lizard and not tell you anything about it. Whereas a reptile keeper will look at this lizard, same lizard, and say, you know, he's sick. And I haven't got a clue. And that's, you know, we're just, people are different and they're drawn to different species and have that understanding.
Right, right. And how can people in Canmore and Banff and the area here in Alberta help the Bear Care Group and help bears in general?
Well, I think that that's a really good question. I think the issue right now in Alberta is the proper disposition of bears, deposition of bears. So because bear cubs are not allowed to be rehabilitated and don't go to rehabilitators for eventual release, they're going to the captive community. And again, there are only so many zoos that have credible or good homes. And these animals can be released. So I think anybody in Canmore or Banff or Calgary or the rest of Alberta can talk to the government, the Alberta government, and say, hey, look, read the research, and the research is on this website I was talking about, bearrehabilitation.org, and allow bears to go to rehabilitators. There are rehabilitators in Alberta that have done bear rehab before, historically, and have done a great job. So there is no excuse for putting orphan bear cubs into zoos when they should be rehabilitated and released. If a bear cub has an injury, or an adult animal has an injury, and they cannot be released and they can't survive in the wild, yes, by all means. The Calgary Zoo, for instance, has a long history of rescuing bears from the wild. So we have to be smart about where we put bears, right?
Right. And just recently there was a video that was kind of being spread around the internet of a black bear, it seemed, and her two cubs that were under a lot of stress due to the proximity of a few tourists and people trying to take pictures. How can situations like this be prevented?
Well, I saw that was an interesting, lots of people commenting on that. You're talking about the situation on the bridge?
Yeah, I think it was Yellowstone National Park.
Yeah, it was Yellowstone, and then the situation on the bridge. In that particular scenario, I really think that all bridges should have be no stopping zones, so that people have to cross the bridge and they can't stop on either side of it, because those bears had nowhere to go. Those bears were trying to get through the people plug at the end of the bridge. And I don't know if when you watch that video, you see the one cub putting his or her front legs up and looking over the edge to see if they could escape that way. And clearly there was a many foot drop there, and the animal would have killed itself. But there was no place for that animal to go. So I think bridges as a whole need to be no stopping zones on either end. But I also saw there was some good news, too, like Kootenai National Park very recently had set up no stopping zones on Highway 93 South. So no stopping zones are definitely the answer. And when people decide to do that anyway, when they decide to stop anyway or to feed bears, again, on Facebook, you may have noticed there were some pictures that were taken at the north entrance to Banff.
Yeah.
of two cars, and they were actually feeding the bear. I mean, this is one could have a lot of adjectives and behavior, but anyway, the long and short of it is we need heavy fines so that people don't chance that. It's very difficult. Enforcement is very difficult for fish and wildlife officers, obviously, because the parks are so big. Mm-hmm. But I think the visitors need to know that if you are caught doing something like this, they will find you, and they will fine you this money. There's just no excuse for that kind of behavior, human behavior.
Yeah, exactly. Now, does the Bear Care Group have any upcoming promotions or fundraisers that we could maybe help out or know about here in the Bow Valley?
We do have, we're going to have 3 or 4 pop-up fundraisers on our Facebook page, and everybody's welcome to join the Facebook page and take part in our pop-up fundraisers. A fun one that we're doing in September is we're raffling off Jill Robinson.
Right.
And Jill Robinson is the founder of Animals Asia, and they are internationally known. Jill started the sanctuary for bears that were rescued from biofarming in China, and has also started a similar rescue center in Vietnam for the bear biofarming industry. If you want to read about Jill, you can just go to animalsasia.org. And in September, what we're going to be doing is raffling off a chance to ask 3 questions of Jill online about her interesting work. And the reason we're focusing on Animals Asia is because the Bear Care Group has partnered with Animals Asia, and we're putting on a conference in October in Vietnam for bear care professionals, and again sharing our knowledge, delegates sharing their knowledge on modern bear husbandry.
Right. Awesome.
Yeah, we think so.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for thinking of us.
Have a nice rest of your day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.